All right, if you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 37. If I left this. Psalm number 37. I always have trouble getting done on time, but this is just plain depressing. It's 12:22. I'm already late. So I guess I can go as long as I need to. All the guards are laughing at me, threatening the junior churches, and they're all wanting to kill me. So I better not do that. But Psalm 37. Psalm 37. It's good to see everyone this morning. Appreciated the testimony. It's amazing how it actually kind of goes well with the message this morning. And of course, goes well with the week. Psalm 37, I'm going to read the whole chapter here. We've got a lot of verses. I'm going to cover many of them, or at least I'm going to attempt to. This really probably ought to be three messages, but we'll all the teens are already laughing at me because they know better. But I'm going to do my best to cover most of it because I have to. The part I want to get to is at the end. So I really got to push myself. So we'll see what happens. But in case I don't get there, I want you to know what the rest of the chapter says. So we're going to read the whole thing this morning. Psalm 37, verse number 1 is where we'll begin. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their swords shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Let's have a word of prayer, and then let's look at this psalm this morning. Our God, Lord, we're grateful to be here today. We're grateful to look at your word. And we're thankful, God, that we have the truth sitting before us. In a day when there is so much that presents itself as truth yet is false, we can see through it all because we've got your word. And Lord, every day, the older I get, I'm more thankful for that, and I praise you for it. Now, Lord, there are many young people here. There are many that are perhaps young in the Lord that are just coming to understand this truth and maybe even a little bit pessimistic about it. I pray that because of your word going forth today, I pray that that could begin to change in their lives. So, Lord, I pray that I'd be out of the way. I pray that, God, you would speak to our hearts this morning about an important truth, God, that we all need to be reminded of. I pray you'd use it and ask these things in your name. Amen. There are a number of famous, now this word always sounds weird when I say it, but famous hoaxes or famous deceptions that have happened in the world. I was reading a few of them yesterday and last night. Some of them were pretty interesting. They cracked me up, so I thought I'd share a little bit with you this morning. In 1869, there was a man by the name of George Hull. He created a fake 10-foot-tall petrified man, then buried and exhumed it from his cousin's backyard in Cardiff, New York. Upon discovery of the giant, they immediately began charging spectators 50 cents to see it. The giant became such a phenomenon that Hull managed to sell his part interest in the Cardiff giant for $23,000. That's, in today's money, $429,000 when you adjust for inflation. A year later, to stop P.T. Barnum, so this in 1 year at 50 cents a person, $23,000 just for his part in this fake petrified man. A year later, P.T. Barnum decided that he was going to profit from an unauthorized copy. And in order to stop him, Hull actually confessed that the petrified man was a forgery, making Barnum's, therefore, proven to be a fake of a fake. I thought that was interesting. Also in 1957, the question, where does spaghetti come from, came up. And so on April Fool's Day, and April 1st in 1957, the BBC news program decided that they were going to answer it for everybody in a program called Panorama. And so they tackled this question by talking about a Swiss town's robust spaghetti crop brought on by a warm spring and the disappearance of the spaghetti weevil. For those who love this dish, there's nothing like real homegrown spaghetti, an off-anchor Richard Dimbleby said. Instead of it going off as an April Fool's joke like they expected, viewers ate it up, pun intended. On April 2nd, the BBC was flooded with hundreds of phone calls from people eager to grow their own noodles because spaghetti was a rare treat for British dinners. Deciding that if people were foolish enough to call in and ask that they really didn't want to tell them the truth, they decided to keep it going. So the BBC later instructed that anyone interested in a pasta-bearing tree needed to place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best. I thought that was great. There were several more. There were a couple of kids that in, I think it was 1917, they proved the existence of fairies by taking a picture there with all of these little fairies in front of them. And I saw the photo, of course, very realistic looking. And people believed that. There were a number of famous authors that believed it and promoted it and said, see, it really is true. And I think if I read it correctly, that was 1917. It wasn't until like 1983 that the ladies confessed that the picture was really of cardboard cutouts that they had just set right there, and people had believed it. Perhaps the most famous or most known great hoax or deception really wasn't intended. On October 30th, Sunday, October 30th of 1938, Orson Welles decided that he was going to make his own broadcast of H.G. Wells' book, The War of the Worlds. There was a whole lot of description at the very beginning about how this really was not true. It was completely fake. It was completely false. But because of a number of events, they didn't have a whole lot of advertisers for that particular program, so they actually held off their break for about 45 minutes and 55 minutes. Some have claimed that that show wasn't really that popular, so many were listening to the Edward Bergen show at the time, but a singer by the name of Nelson Eddy came on at that time, not very well known. Everybody switched off of his program and came into the middle of the Martian invasion in a New Jersey town, which resulted in mass widespread panic. Now, guys today are looking back on it and they're saying that the media hyped it up. I can't imagine living in the day and age that we live in, the media ever fabricating anything or hyping it up or making it overly dramatic. But suffice it to say, there were 12,500 articles written just on this one program. Before the program was done, Orson Welles was seen with his head in his hand and a number of police officers standing around him saying, "Oh no, my career is ruined," which actually didn't happen. It sent him to stardom. And as I started this, many of you have heard about it. It's that famous. But there were a number of policemen in there asking them, "Did you know?" And come to find out, part of it, remember the year was 1938. If you know your history, the Germans were beginning to spread themselves in Europe, and World War II was coming on. And so a lot didn't think it was a Martian invasion. There were a lot of people that thought it was a German invasion. Nearly 8 million people were estimated to have listened to that, and it caused mass hysteria and spread a lot of panic throughout the nation. Why? Well, all because somebody went on there and tried to portray something to be real when it was not. Why did a lot of people all of a sudden believe that you could grow spaghetti? Because someone wanted to portray something as real when it was not. Why did, at 50 cents a person, why did at least 66,000 people come and see a 10-foot petrified man? Because a lot of people wanted to believe something that simply was not true, and somebody promoted something to be true that was not. If there was ever a great deception in this world today, I believe the devil is portraying one. He really gets it on young people. But he also pushes it heavily, if you're here this morning, and you're wondering, is Christianity really worth it? Is God real? Is this talk of Christ real? The devil will throw this deception at you to keep you from going all the way with Christ, or even beginning your life with Christ. The devil will push this idea. If you come to Christ, if you go all the way with Christ, you are going to be missing out on a lot of things. If you become like these fanatic church people, you actually start coming to Sunday school, not just Sunday morning. Or you even show up for Sunday night church. Maybe you really go nuts, and not only are you here Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night, but for our church, you come Thursday night. For those of you in other churches, perhaps Wednesday night, but you actually come to the midweek service. We have special services, and you show up for those. And you might sit there and go, "You know that? I'm okay with coming to church. I'm okay with coming to Christ. I get that the Bible can help me and my family, but I just don't know if I want to go that far." The devil is feeding you a line about the danger of missing out. "Well, if I start making church so important, my kids might not be able to do Little League. They might miss football, basketball, or whatever sport it may be. If I do this, I might miss out on some of these things. I'm going to have some friends that all of a sudden start to fall by the wayside. I'm going to hurt some family members, and it's not going to be real popular in my family if I actually go through and do this. Some of you teenagers, if I actually give in to what God wants me to do, well, who knows? I've already got my life figured out. I know what career I want. I know how I want to live. I know the lifestyle I want. In fact, I can't wait to get out of my parents' house. Or maybe it's not that you can't wait to get out of your parents' house. You're okay with being very active in church. Just make sure God doesn't call you to full-time Christian service because you want to make a lot of money while you're doing it. It's okay, I'll serve in church. Just make sure I got plenty of money. Because if I go and do all of these things, I'm going to miss out. If I get serious about God in the youth group, everybody's going to make fun of me. Well, that's just a sad state of the youth group, isn't it? I'm talking to mine, guests, just so you know. That it has to be so popular to be disobedient. If I go all the way with God, I'll be missing out. No, your problem is you're looking for a 10-foot petrified man. And he doesn't exist. And the devil is pulling a great deception upon you. Here in Psalm 37, we see a warning about following this. So this morning, what I want to talk about is let's see what the Bible says about missing out. Let's see what the truth is about missing out. I see Pastor Sins out there when I was, he's now pastoring there in Chalice. And when I was out there, the Lord just kind of got something on my heart that kind of became for me a motto for the church when I was out there. It's still a motto for me, and that is this. What I would say of Mountain Valley Baptist Church, I'd say, there may not be a whole lot of, you may not be able to come and hear good preaching. You probably can, he's there now. But when I was there, maybe not. You may not hear good preaching. You may not hear a lot of things that you like. But I always said this, it's a place where you can always hear the truth. Amen. See, here's the thing I know. When I've got the Bible open and I'm looking at it, you can actually hear the truth. And so if you're here this morning and you've been listening to this lie and the devil's been whispering in your ear, you're going to miss out. Don't go too far. Go a little ways. That's okay. But you're going to be missing out. And the devil, just like Pharaoh of old, is saying, you know what? You can go a little ways into the wilderness. Just make sure you come back. You're going to be missing out. Let's take a look at the Bible this morning and let's learn the truth about missing out. Because here's the truth. Somebody is missing out. It's just not who you think it is. Let's get into this morning. Psalm 37, look at verse number 1 and 2, and we find the warning. Again, I'm going to try to move through this quickly. But you'll notice time and again, if you paid attention as we read through this, these first three words are repeated over and over again. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Have you ever known somebody that lived their life in constant crisis? Some people just love drama. They really do. Some people just like, hey, you talking, how you doing? Well, I'm kind of doing okay, but I tell you what, I don't know. I'm just worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about this. And I'm worried about that. And 25 minutes later, when you finally get away, you're depressed because they just told you everything that they're depressed about. I mean, I don't know. I just worried about it. I don't know what's going to happen in the election. Now the election's happened. Boy, I don't know what's going to happen after the election. You're right. Everything in the future, you don't know. You kind of should have been able to figure that out in kindergarten. Well, I don't know. I'm just worried about this, and I'm not worried about anything. And I don't know. And they said this, and I thought, oh, no, did they really think that of me? And oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And Pastor Parrish, do you realize, are you seeing what's going on in the news today? And do you see how wicked it is out there? And it's really crazy. Yeah, the lost world is acting like the lost world. Newsflash, ain't nothing new. But they're lying in the news media. Once again, ain't nothing new. Well, but there's this going on, and there's that going on, and there's terror going on in the world. That's not new either. If you read history, there was a war that went for 100 years. They called it the 100 Years War. They're real great at titles back then. We get so frustrated. And we sit there and we look and you say, well, you know what? That person, they're not serving God and they're wicked. And look at how hard they drive. And look how successful they are. Look at the money they've got. I mean, take a look at these great big football players, and I mean, take a look at them. They're taking a stand. Oh, wait, no, they're not. But they're bending their knee, and they're protesting, and look, they've still got all that money, and they're getting by with it, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know, right now. Right now. Do you know how many people at the abortion clinics, they're successful and Planned Parenthood, we're still funding it. And yeah, I know, the GOP's doing nothing about it. I get that. But you're saying, but it's horrible. Look, the evildoers are winning. Just sometimes it seems like I may as well quit. Give up. Some days it just seems like they've got it better. I sacrifice, I give, I tithe. It seems like I'm always scrounging around trying to find one more penny, and then my car breaks down, and then I get my car fixed, and I have a flat tire, and then I get the flat tire fixed, and my car breaks down, and I've been there. I've had those cars, too. And you say, but it just seems like this thing happens, and this thing happens, and this thing happens, and this thing happens. But it seems like the people who are wicked always seem to get by with it. I mean, just take a look in the news. I mean, you look at all the, I mean, and all this stuff that's coming out and all the corruption and everything, and you're like, and why aren't they arrested? Because sometimes the wicked flourishes. But he gave the warning. He said, fret not. In other words, don't be grieved. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it consume you. And he warned you then after that. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And notice what he adds. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. See, here's the problem. Sometimes when we start getting so upset and we start working ourselves into a tizzy and we start fretting about it, if we're not careful, we're starting to get envious too. You see, you need to think about for a second when you start going down that road about them having a nicer car. What's really important to you? No, I like it. You say, what kind of car do you like? I like a car that runs. I'm all for those. Those are great. All right? I'm not for those. You know, Pastor Aaron was talking a while back about a Rolls Royce. I've had some of those Rolls Canardleys. You ever have one of those? Rolls down one hill, Canardley get up the other one. I like a car that runs. I'm happy with that. But if we're not careful, look at how much money they've got. Look at how much money they've got saved up. Or let's enter the modern world, not mine, but where some of you live. Did you see how many the likes that they got on their post? Did you see how many friends they've got on there? Hey, by the way, did you know that you can fake your friends on Facebook and have been able to for years? And Twitter and Instagram and whatever it is. Like, oh, but they've got so many friends. They got so many followers. They've got all this and they've got all that. Oh, look at them. Look at that. But they notice that. And boy, some people, they just get in a tizzy about all this kind of stuff. And be careful that you're not envious. He said, don't do it. Don't be envious. And be foresighted. In verse 2, he kind of sets the tone for the rest of the chapter. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. He said, they're not going to last. It's going to be gone. So he gives a warning right at the very beginning. And then he gives some exhortation about this. He comes down in verses 3 through 8 and he gives us about five things that we should do. He starts in verse 3 and says this, trust. Trust. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He said, you know what? I'm not going to dwell on this. I'll mention this again later, but let me just start off by saying, don't get envious of the wicked. Don't get all upset about it. They're going to pass away. Now, let me tell you something you can do. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Young people, you see, some of your problem is you have no faith. Some of you are afraid to surrender all the way because you're afraid of what God will make you do. You don't know God. You don't understand God. Because if you understood God, the real God, the God I read about in the Bible, surrendering to whatever He will have you do is the greatest life possible. Some of you are sitting in here this morning and you're going, yeah, but you know what, Pastor Parrish, you don't understand. I like my alcohol, and you ask me to give that up, and you want me to quit drinking. I just don't know if I can. Well, let me help you with that. You're half right. You can't. God can. And that's the half you're forgetting. Trust in the Lord and do good. Put it in God's hands. You say, but I don't know if that's really what God wants me to do. I know I should try to be more faithful to church. But here's the problem, Pastor Barrett. You don't understand. I've tried it before and it just hasn't happened. Okay? I got you. Let me help you. Try again. And this time, trust God to help you. Notice what he said. He said, trust in the Lord. And but by the way, that's not, oh, hey, you know what? Okay, all right. God, get me to church. Sorry, he's not going to come down to press a button, beam me up, Scotty, and get you here. Do good. You know what that means? While you're trusting God, start doing something. Trust in the Lord, but do good. Hey, you say, well, if I am faithful to church, what's going to happen? Well, here's what you do. You trust God that what he told you to do is okay, and then you do it. You say, but wait a minute, he asked me to tithe 10%. What do I do? Here's what you do. You trust God to take care of your bills, and you do the tithe. You say, but wait a minute, you said that I'm supposed to get baptized after I'm saved, but I don't know whether I really want to go do that. It's kind of scary. You're up there and you know, people are looking at you. Here's what you do. You trust God and then you just do it. Teenager, you say, but wait a minute, Pastor Parrish, if I actually start memorizing the verses that you hand out and getting in the Bible and reading, I start coming faithful to church and I even come to TNT and start doing these things, my friends are going to laugh at me. They're not going to understand me. I don't know anybody around me who even does this. Do you realize you're going to make me an oddball all week long? Yeah, I do, I'm afraid. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not. I sympathize with you. I understand how hard it is to serve God when nobody else around you wants to do it. But trust in the Lord and do good. And then he said in verse 4, delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I remember when I was a teenager, a friend of mine said, well, you know what? I want to be a doctor, and that's my desire. God's going to let me have it because he said he'd give me the desires of my heart. No, that's not the way it works. There's a part there at the beginning that she missed. What does it say? What's that first word? Verse 4. Delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. There are some things that I do, and there are some things I delight in doing, okay? You can put, I don't know, ham and beans in front of me, and I'll eat it. You can put a banana in front of me, and I'll have to decide whether I want to offend you or not. But I might eat it. But you put a nice thick cheeseburger in front of me with some Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce on that, some bacon and some lettuce and tomatoes and pickles. You guys getting hungry now? And let me tell you, when I get a big old bite out of that puppy, I'm going to delight in it. I could go to the store with my wife, and I will delight in her presence, so we're clear. But I won't necessarily like going shopping. But I can spend time with my family, and I'll delight in it. There's some things I really enjoy, and some things I do because I have to. And some of you this morning, what you need to do is you need to move past, I'm going to church because it's my duty. I'm reading my Bible because it's my duty. I'm going soul winning because it's my duty. I'm working my ministry because it's my duty. And get to the point where you delight in it. Amen. I'm getting in my Bible because that is where God meets me. And I like that. I'm going to church because that is where God speaks, and I like that. I understand that at first, if you go giving up your music and you're not used to the kind of music you hear, your music kind of gets you going a little bit more like this. I understand that when you come in here, it's not like that. All right, we barely move when we sing. Okay, I get it. I understand that. But I'll tell you something, if you'll do it first and go forward, I understand that at first it'll be drudgery. But if you'll make the step, you'll all of a sudden start to understand the words of what we're singing, and it'll be a joy. And you'll understand that while it may be a boring tune to you and not super exciting, and it sounds like it's old and from a hymn book, and you're singing close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Those melodies all sounded like they were the same. But when you start to understand that, and I'm not making fun of the hymn, some of y'all don't get offended now. But I'm saying, if you come in from the world and you first hear a hymn like that, I'm just saying, I understand. You're going, what in the world do you guys sing around here? And a bunch of you teens, come on, just be honest. That's why you never crack a hymn book. You're going, I don't know what in the world they're singing up there. I'm trying to help you understand. You go, why are they so excited? Because we know who the thee is. Because we're singing about being close to God, and that's exciting to us. And that's wonderful. And we get excited. And so let me tell you, move past the drudgery. Start to realize who all this stuff is about, and you'll start to delight in the Lord. He comes down in verse 5. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He said, trust. He said, delight. He said, commit. Go all the way. Surrender your path completely to God. Later on, he talks about steps, and he talks about a way. And what he's basically saying is the path, your future, the direction you're going, take it and place it in God's hands. Part of the trouble that you have on some of those individual decisions, maybe Pastor Dameron's preached on something, maybe a friend or somebody working with you has talked to you about something, and you're sitting here and God's working in your heart, and you know there's something you're supposed to give up. You know there's another step you're supposed to take, but you're just going, but I can't see the future. I don't know where this leads. Commit it to God. Go ahead and go all the way. Because we're going to get to where it leads in just a second. And I need to get there quick. Letter D. Verse 7. Whatever I'm on. Here's the word. Rest. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. I've told our teenagers, and I'll tell you again today, some of you wear me out. Not because they're teenagers. I know some of you are like, yeah, they wear me out. Now, some of our teenagers, they wear me out because they're so busy trying to find fun. So in the life of a teenager, it's basically this. They get up. Don't have time for my Bible. I need to get to fun. They see their friends, and it's fun, 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 fun. Oh, have fun here. Oh, wait, gotta go have fun here. Oh, wait, gotta go have fun here. I'm just getting ready for next week. They're sitting here running back and forth. Oh, I gotta have fun. I gotta try this. I gotta try this. And you're saying, hey, have you stopped and read your Bible? Pastor Parrish, you don't understand. I don't have time to read my Bible. You don't? Some of you got time to be up here in the snack shop bugging the college kids all the time. But you don't have time to study or read your Bible. You got to have fun all the time. Bounce around from one thing to the next. Some of you folks, you come in here and you do that all week long. You know, Pastor Parrish, you don't understand. Sunday is my day off. I can't do that, but you'll stay up late Saturday night. Some of you teenagers, you were up till 3 or 4 this morning playing video games. Why? Because you had to have fun, had to have fun, had to have fun. And today you're dead tired and you're going to go home and you're going to jump on the same thing again. Some of you are going crazy because your phone is off, or at least it's supposed to be off, and you're dying. And I know, because I'm down there at the front desk every Sunday morning, between here and there, I imagine somewhere on a grid somewhere, all of a sudden, all these lights are popping up. Phone, 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 phone. Because everybody's got to get on there and find out if somebody texted them. Why can't you walk out of here and think about what God just said? Because you don't know how to rest. And you wear yourself out jumping from fun to fun to fun to fun to fun to fun. And that's why soap operas are popular. Because you feel like you're watching your life. Oh, they understand me. Yeah, they're miserable too. Learn to just rest in God. Instead of constantly having to run around and freak out about everything. I'm not talking about a laid-back personality, although I know in some ways I have one. But I'm talking about just learning to say, you know what? God's got it under control. I'm going to find my strength. I'm going to find my peace in Him. And you say, but you don't understand. My friends, they're all... Well, just sit there and watch them. It's entertaining a little bit. Learn to rest. Learn to rest. Because he went on and said, fret not thyself because of him who prospered this way. Rest. Don't fret. Cease from anger. And fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Put away anger. Don't let it begin to control you. Your frustration at society. Your frustration at everything else. You don't understand. The world is just going to pieces. And you don't understand everything that's going on in the world. Listen, I do. But it's always been that way ever since Adam and Eve sinned. There's always been chaos. Well, there's chaos in my family. How do you think the first family felt when one brother killed the other one? Peace on earth, right? We don't understand. It was just one family. Yeah, I know we're near Chicago and there's been over 500. I get that. But it was out of four people, 25% of the population was eliminated. They had no peace then either. There's never been perfect peace ever since sin entered the world. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is found in resting in Christ. And that's why through all the mess and everything going on around you, and you sit there and go, but I'm missing out. I'm sure I'm missing out. No, you're not. When you have Christ, you have everything. Well, so how does it look? What's the appearance? Well, he goes on. He says, they seem to be able to persecute the righteous without restraint. Verse 12, he says, the wicked plotteth against the just, gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. You say, it just seems like the world is constantly attacking those who do right. And it seems like there's nobody restraining them. I know that. That's the way it looks. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. They just go and take things and nobody stops them. I know it looks that way. Verse 16, the riches, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. It seems like they're the ones that got all the money. Verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a Green Bay tree. It seems like they're in power and they stretch their arms out and it's like they're in charge of everything. The wicked always seem to win. I know that's how it looks. But I've only gone in and highlighted a few verses. The rest of it tells the truth. Tells the truth about the wicked, because you see when in verse 12 and 14 it's talking about them plotting against the righteous and drawing out the sword, verse 13 is in the middle. And he says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. It may one day happen in the United States of America that it's actually illegal to be a Bible-believing Christian. What do we do? Well, you need to remember that while they're bringing up their armies and they're bringing the onslaught, and it seems like today they got so much control of everything against biblical Christianity, you and I are down here hunkering, looking at all their swords like there's so many of them, there's so many of them, there's so many of them. And God said in verse 13, up in heaven, the Lord's looking down at him and going, really? That's all you got? Did you see that guy? Wow.
beautiful.
Enjoy it, fellas. Ain't gonna last long. I'm gonna wipe you out pretty soon.
But Lord, you don't understand. Don't you get what's going on down here?
Yeah. But his day's coming. His day's coming. You ever have your kids come home? Well, so-and-so, they did such and such, and the teacher didn't see it. You ever said this? Don't worry. Their day's coming. And then if you're like me, I usually follow it with, and so's yours. Because, parent, if you haven't figured that out, just because the teacher didn't see them, teacher didn't see your kid either. Their day's coming. Well, it just seems like they're so victorious. They may as well enjoy it now. You see, when I die, I'm going to enjoy heaven forever. I'm going to be with God forever. The weather's going to be perfect up there. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. Down here, they're accumulating all the stuff that I'm going to walk on someday. And when they die, they're going to burn for all eternity. You see, when you start looking at things God's way, instead of going, oh no, it's just not fair, they're winning, you begin to look at them and say, boy, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. Some folks in here, you get so caught up in the world and it's just drawing you. I'm going to be honest with you. When I see you held in the clutches of the world and a slave to your gadgets or your habits or whatever it may be, I'm not trying to look down on you at all. I'm not. But I feel sorry for you. Because I know that there is a life that's got a lot more peace in it, and that you can rest in God. And I feel sorry for you, because while you're afraid of missing out, are you listening? You're missing out. See, the truth is, it looks this great about the wicked, but in verse 15, they got that sword and they've got it ready to go and they've got the bow ready to go. But in verse 15, their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. While they're so busy trying to come on the attack, God says they're going to wipe themselves out. It seems like they've got great riches, but in verse 17, he said the arms of the wicked shall be broken and they won't be able to produce any more riches. And in verse 20, the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Shall they consume away? They're going to be like they vanish. Verse 35, I've seen the wicked in great power and spread himself like a green bay tree. That's true. Verse 36, yet he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. People, what you don't remember is, there have been people that have been successful that were wicked hundreds of years before. And you don't know anything about them. There were some great Burmese government officials that were responsible for Adoniram Judson being persecuted for years. I have no idea who they are. But I know who Adoniram Judson is. There were people that probably told D.L. Moody, we will shut you down. I don't know who they are. But his work lives on. And there may have been people that say, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I don't know who they are, but God's word is still stands. Voltaire one time said, you know what? I will live to see the Bible become an old relic. You got to search high and low for his works, but the Bible can be found. You see, the truth is the wicked will wipe out. But if you follow the way of righteousness, let me point out three quick things for you. You have a sure direction. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The law, verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You have a sure direction. You know what's sad about people I see so often today is they're running around and they're trying to find something to believe in. And all of a sudden, when any kind of tragedy comes, they go, I just don't know what to do. What do I do? How do I handle this? I don't know what to do. Because you're living your life without any purpose. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and this week, aside from go slightly crazy. In the morning, I'm going to get up. I'm going to read my Bible. And then I'm going to go through my day and serve God and do my best to help people. And you can tomorrow morning get up and read your Bible. And you may not be going to go through your day with a bunch of teenagers in full-time Christian service. Maybe you're going to go work with a bunch of folks that are going to make fun of your religion, are going to cuss, and they're going to talk dirty, and they're going to do all these other things, and you've got to go deal with all of that. But you can tomorrow get up, read your Bible, let it strengthen you for the day, and go through the day and try to help people while you do your job. And then you can come home, eat supper with your family, spend some time around God's Word with them in the night or in the morning, whenever you do it. Talk to them about the Lord. Go visiting, reach out to somebody else, and the next day get up and do it the same again. And you got a purpose in your step. You know why the lost world gets a little bit scared of Christians? Because we know what we're doing. And they think we're nuts. They're crazy. I mean, there's a man and a woman, and they're married for life, and they raise their kids, and they have family meals with them. That's weird. No, I would say it's peaceful. It's got its moments. It's a joy. I'll take that over wondering about whether my wife's going to ever come home or be with somebody else. I'll take purpose and direction in life over the way most of the world lives its life today. You say, but the wicked seem like they're having so much fun. Here's what you got to understand about fun. Fun is always temporary, and you've always got to go find it again. Joy is permanent, and it's found in Christ, and he's never going to disappear. It's a wonderful thing. Sure direction, a sure deliverer. Verse 24. You say, yeah, well, I've seen good people fall. Me too. So is the psalmist. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Verse 28, the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Hey, listen, I've got somebody who's always there for me. I've got a friend who will never pass away. I got a friend who will protect me and guide me and lead me. What do you have? And my friend has unlimited resources. And I've also got a sure destination. Verse 37, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. He said, I want you to notice somebody. Notice the guy who's trying to do right, because here's what you can know about them. The end of that man is peace. What kind of ending do you want? Where do you want to end up in life? Constant drama, constant crisis, never know what's going on, bouncing from one person to the next, Is that the way you want to live your life? Or how about some peace and comfort that can only come in Christ? I'm not being critical. I'm not being rude this morning. I'm telling you the truth. The devil says, if you serve God, you're missing out. I say, and God says, if you don't serve God, you're missing out. Oh, now do I miss out on things? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I miss out on hangovers. I miss out on being addicted. I miss out on the cops being called on my house. I miss out on misery. I miss out on freaking constantly whether the bubble is going to burst and all my investments are going to be blown away. When you don't have any, you're okay. Yeah, I miss a lot of things. What do I have? God. Peace. The joy of watching a teenager finally make that step and surrender. Of watching a teenager come in and get saved and know that their eternity is changed and they're heading for heaven. Yeah, I miss out on all that other stuff for that. Amen. Your choice. But I'll take the path that I have found. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't be envious of the wicked. Trust in God. Delight in God. Rest in God. Cease from anger. That's the truth about missing out. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.